Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Go Sasaki. Welcome to The Common. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing okay. It's good to be here.
Oh, yes. Good to have you. And we have you because there's a new report commissioned by members of the Massachusetts Asian American Educators Association. Mm-hmm. And it has some eye-catching findings when it comes to how Asian American students feel in school. For example, Asian American students in Boston public high schools are more likely to report feeling an absence of belonging and a lack of interest from teachers as compared to Black, Latino, and white students. This is despite performing well academically. Go, not only are you a member of the association,
yes,
but you're a co-author of this report called Truth from Youth: The Asian American Experience in BPS High Schools. First, tell us about how this report came together.
Sure, Daryl. I'm originally from California, but when I moved out here to Boston, you know, the folks that I connected with, whether they be veteran educators or new educators, I heard from them many stories about Asian students feeling isolated, feeling like they don't belong. And these stories go back decades and decades. In my nerd mind, I really wanted to look at the social-emotional data for Boston Public Schools and see how that broke down by race. I was able to get a mini-grant in cooperation with the Massachusetts Consortium for Innovative Educational Assessment and worked together with district folks to get the data from the school climate survey from 2018-2019 and analyze it for how patterns play out with different schools and for different racial groups. I worked with a data scientist, Dr. Rondon, who's really great, and we analyzed data from 19 schools. And then the Massachusetts Asian American Educators Association, we wanted to look at the experience of Asian American students. And so we looked at the schools that had a bunch of Asian American students. There were six. So the Excel Charlestown High School, the Quincy Upper School, which is based in Chinatown. And then we have the three exam schools. We have the John D. O'Brien, we have Boston Latin Academy, and Boston Latin School. And all those schools have, I think, at least 10% or more of the student body were Asian students.
Go, you mentioned school climate surveys from 2018 and 19. Just so folks understand, what is school climate?
School climate is many different things. As a student, in terms of your student experience, right, it's your feeling of, do you feel safe physically and emotionally? Do you feel like Many different groups are represented in the curriculum. Are teachers and other non-teaching staff supporting you? Do you get to know other people that may be different from you? And do you think about things from their perspective? All these things are wrapped up together in school climate.
Tell me more about why it felt important for you to be a part of this report.
Absolutely. The well-being of Asian students is near and dear to my heart. Growing up as an Asian American on the West Coast, there were a decent number of Asians around in my school districts, but I certainly didn't learn anything about the history of Asian Americans in the United States. My grandparents were interned in an incarceration camp during World War II. And coming out to the East Coast, one of the things that I noticed was that talking to educators, talking to other members of the community, it felt more like Asians were fighting for survival, especially working class Asians. Being able to kind of shine a light on this issue, on the invisibility, on the lack of sense of belonging that Asian students feel, many Asian students feel, I shouldn't say all of them, is very important to me.
Understood. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the data you mentioned. Your report analyzed responses to Boston Public Schools Climate Survey for 2018 and 2019. The report found that overall, Asian American students rank school climate lower than Black, Latino, and white students. Tell me a little more about these findings.
Sure. One of the things that we wanted to be careful about with this report is not to draw conclusions that were not supported by the data. We have data from one particular school year. What we have is just a little bit of a snapshot of what the school climate was like for that particular year. And yes, the scores for Asian students were quite low for a number of these scales. So for example, students being supported by support staff, that includes two questions. One is like, if you are feeling upset, is there a non-teacher that you can turn to for help? And then if you need academic help, is there a non-teacher that you can turn to for help? And Asian students scored extremely, extremely low on these items. And there are other questions like, do you see yourself represented in the curriculum? And here also, Asian students scored extremely low, along with other groups, other students of color, I must add. If you look at the scale for academic press, those had questions like, does the teacher ask you to explain your reasoning? Does the teacher check with you to see if you need help? And Asian students scored low on that as well, along with other groups.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Seen. Listen and follow Last Seen wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. All right, so Go, you've taught in Boston before.
Yes, for 8 years.
How did the findings of this report match up with what you've experienced in local public schools?
Yeah, I think it does match very well with my experience. So the report has three different focus areas in the findings. Mm-hmm. So the first one is, maybe the first two, we could say, is that the two very strong controlling images of Asians in the United States are very much alive in the minds of educators. And so those two controlling images that are mentioned in the report is the model minority myth, right? This idea mm-hmm. that Asians are wealthy, they are hardworking, they are super smart, good at math, good at science. And the idea of Asians as being foreign. And so both of those I have experienced many times, both as an educator, right? And as a person working in schools, I see it happening to students all the time. And in fact, at least for the model minority myth, sometimes I find myself falling into it myself. You know, I've had a student, I remember a student in one of my classes, I was just assuming that she was doing fine, right? And then a couple weeks later, I'm entering grades and oh my gosh, she was not fine. And kind of as a related item, the idea that Asians in Boston public schools are actually vast majority working class, vast majority low income, right? Students are the sons and daughters of restaurant workers, nail salon workers, mm-hmm. home healthcare workers, et cetera, right? And that is not present in the minds of many people that I've spoken with. Mm. You know, I mentioned that fact and they're super surprised, right? But if you go down to Chinatown at certain times of the day, you see people waiting to be picked up by vans to go to restaurants in towns far away, right? Mm-hmm. And then the last idea is the perpetual foreigner stereotype, the idea that someone that looks like me could not be an American, right? They must be an immigrant. And so I've gotten comments like from school staff, your English is so great, right? Even though my family has been in this country for over 100 years. And we see that in the cultural relevance scores, right? Where students don't see themselves represented in the curriculum. You know, I think there's a little bit of a blending of the model minority, right? And the idea of Asians as foreign. I feel like those kind of blend together in making it less likely that Asians get help.
I'm curious to know how these myths play out among students in the student-to-student relationships.
Yeah, from what I've seen, it plays out in a bunch of different ways. And I think, first of all, among some students and some educators, there's the idea that Asians are basically white. I think this is definitely one of the things that we want to problematize, right? The idea that Asians are wealthy, they are privileged, you know, they don't face any racism. Other issues is the kind of insidious nature of the model minority myth, right? If we look at the history of the way Asians have been used politically, the powers that be, in many cases, have elevated Asians as a wedge to put down non-Asian people of color, in particular Black folks, right? Mm-hmm. And that upholds the current system. It makes racial minority groups antagonistic to each other. Mm-hmm. I have seen that play out, you know, for both educators and for students. It's something that really needs to be addressed.
Very true. Very true. Back to the report, you hosted an event last week where you invited Asian American students from Boston schools to share their experiences and learn about the report. What did they have to say about the findings?
You know, I was able to hear a little bit of the conversations. I was able to read some of the evaluations and look at some of the statements from students. And I think that for many of them, the report did ring true for them. If I think back to stories that were shared of teachers not making efforts to learn student names, confusing Asian students constantly with other Asian students, about folks making fun of Asian languages, the experiences that were shared by the students really lined up with the items in the report.
What do you want people to take away from this report?
Well, I've got a bunch of hopes, right? But I think some of the main things that I want folks to take away, first for educators, really for everybody, is that we have some really powerful stereotypes, controlling images in our heads. And I just want folks to take a moment to take a step back, right? When you're teaching your class, when you are looking at your students' faces, to take a step back and just think, you know, am I thinking of the student as a model minority, right? Am I assuming that, you know, this student is a foreigner and therefore perhaps less worthy of my attention? I think that many well-meaning educators just unconsciously have these stereotypes that affect how they interact with all sorts of students, not just Asians, right? But especially with regards to this report for how they look at and think about Asian students. For Asian students in particular, you know, I hope that students will realize a little bit that the experiences that they are having don't happen in a vacuum, right? They are not alone. There are hundreds of students that have many of the exact same experiences, right? And it is not because something is wrong with you. They're in the system, they're in the structure, right? They are subject to these controlling images, these stereotypes. You know, I don't know what exactly is going to come of this report, but I'm crossing my fingers that some of these will take place for at least some folks.
Understood. Understood. Well, go.
Mm-hmm.
This has been enlightening and thought-provoking. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
That's co-author of Truth from Youth, The Asian American Experience in BPS High Schools, Go Sasaki. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you have any thoughts on this episode, please hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.